famous English actor Rowan Atkinson, or mas kilala natin sa kanyang stage name na Mr. Bean, was sharing a story nung pumunta siya sa isang car parts store para bumili ng pyesa para sa kanyang sasakyan. So habang nag-aantay siya ng kanyang pyesa, nakipagkwentuhan siya sa mga tao ron. At napansin niya may isang mama ron na titig na titig sa kanya at hindi natitinag. Of course, alam naman niya ang dahilan kung bakit siya tinitignan. At hindi nagtagal, lumapit itong mama na to sa kanya and asked this question. Sabi, "Excuse me, sir, but do you know that you have a striking or spitting resemblance of the person na tinatawag na Mr. Bean?" Of course, agad-agad naman inamin ni Rowan na siya mismo yung actor na gumanap ng role na yon. Pero after niya sabihin yun, yung mamang nagtanong, bigla na lang natawa. Tawa ng tawa na parang hindi siya naniniwala. Nagpatuloy ang kanilang kwentuhan ng mga ilapang minuto, pero napapansin ni Rowan na parang kahit nire-reveal na niya ang sarili niya as the actor na si Mr. Bean, ayaw pa rin maniwala ng mamang ito. In fact, medyo naiirita pa nga sa kanya. Ang sabi ni Rowan, siguro nasa isip ng mama na ito, feelingero ako, no, na kamukha ko lang, nagka-claim na ako si Mr. Bean. Baliw siguro ang tingin sa akin ito. Friends, would you recognize Mr. Bean kapag nasa lubong mo siya dito sa Dubai? Maari siguro. But in our passage today, and just like any of the passages of Mark that we have studied, Jesus continued to reveal his qualities as the much-awaited Messiah to the people and his disciples. His words and his works are evidences of his messiahship, and today we will once again see the evidences of his deity. Sa tingin niyo ba mapapansin o maniniwala ang mga tao, ang kanyang mga disciples, na siya ay ang anak ng Diyos? Na siya ang Messiah na inaabang-abangan ng Jewish community? Friends, as we unpack from the Gospel of Mark who Jesus is, my question for us this afternoon is, would you believe that He is the Son of God? Would you believe that Jesus is the Messiah that you unknowingly long for? That He is the Messiah who you truly need? Jesus is the Messiah who alone can truly satisfy the hungry, save the helpless, and strengthen the hurting. Jesus is the Messiah who alone can truly satisfy the hungry, save the helpless, and strengthen the hurting. At yun po yung 3 points natin ngayong araw na ito. Number 1, Jesus satisfies the hungry, verses 30 to 44. Number 2, Jesus saves the helpless, verses 45 to 52. And number 3, Jesus strengthens the hurting, verses 53 hanggang 56. Number 1, Jesus satisfies the hungry. Tignan po ninyo sa verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Now, hinto muna pa tayo dyan. Ang mga disciples na nabanggit dito po, yung mga apostles na nabanggit po sa verse ito ay yung 12 disciples na sinend out ni Jesus para mag-preach about the kingdom of God sa verses 7 to 13 and chapter 6. So he sent them off in a short mission trip, and right now sa verse ito is saying nakabalik na sila from that trip. Pagbalik nila, ni-report nila kay Jesus ang lahat-lahat ng kanilang ginawa, lahat ng kanilang naranasan, lahat ng mga exciting reports and encouraging ones, and the same time yung mga reports of pati yung mga times na sila ay na-reject and maybe yung mga times na na-discourage po sila sa trip na ito. You know what, mga kapatid, magandang paalaala sa atin ito eh. It is a healthy practice to report kay Jesus through prayer ang lahat ng ginawa natin involving the ministry of the Word. Maring ikaw ay isang pastor na regularly nagpe-preach, isang Bible study leader who weekly teaches, isang magulang na nagdi-disciple ng kanilang anak using God's Word, or isang individual na madalas na counsela ng kanyang mga kaibigan using ang salita ng Diyos. Gawin po natin habit by the end of the day to report everything na na-experience natin sa ministry kay Jesus. Or simply, how the day went by bilang anak ng Panginoon. We should go to Him. We should come to Him. We should pray to Him. Praise Him sa lahat ng mga successes and encouragements. And cry to Him sa lahat ng mga rejections and discouragements. Coming to Jesus, coming to the Lord with a heart posture of humility and reliance sa Kanya honors God the Father and it edifies us. Also, mga kaibigan, as a church, let us develop a habit of sharing to our members, sharing to one another how we are ministering the Word of God to others. Upon sharing this to our members, this can cause them to rejoice, be encouraged, and praise God sa ginagawa niya sa buhay mo. And at the same time, cry with you, allowing them to enter your pain, allowing them to enter your hurts, so that they can cry with you, so that they would enter your sorrows and weaknesses. And there pray for you, encourage you, and seek the Lord's comfort together. At ano man ginawa ni Jesus after nila ng mga disciples mag-report sa kanya? Well, look at verses 31 to 32. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." Alam ni Jesus na nakakapagod po ang gospel ministry. It's tiring physically, it's mentally and emotionally draining. Tapos pagdating pa ng mga disciples doon, napakadaming tao nakapaligid kay Jesus. Tapos biglang ang dami pang parating at nadadagdagan, pagod na sila, gutom na sila. So agad-agad ang ginawa ni Jesus, He pulls them. Sinakay siya sa bangka at dadalin sila sa isang lugar na kung saan walang tao. Now what does this tell us about Jesus? This shows us how Jesus cares for His disciples. He invited them to be with Him in a place they can rest and be alone with Him. Kasi Jesus knows that they need a break from the crowd, from the noise, from the commotion, even from the excitement. And enjoy the peace and solitude and rest that Jesus offers them. For those of you who are involved heavily sa gospel ministry, listen to this. The greater the demands on us, the greater our need to be alone with Jesus. Let me say that again. The greater the demands on us, the greater our need to be alone with Jesus. Friends, are you tired? Maybe you are tired with the busyness of Dubai, the daily commute, the pressures at work, the loudness of the crowd around you, people calling your name all the time, demanding attention, demanding results, the numerous screen time meetings, araw-araw, the chores that you need to get done, the crying baby, the fighting kids, ang gulo ng bahay na kailangan linisin, the dreadful deadlines of school requirement, it's just so loud. And you're tired. You're tired. Or maybe you're tired sa physical pain na nararamdaman mo sa katawan mo every day. Maybe it's a pain on your back, a pain on your head. It's that stomach problem na ilang taon na, nakailang doktor na, ganun pa rin. Or maybe you're tired. Your tiredness is not external. Your tiredness is internal. You're tired. You're tired of being lonely. You're tired of being anxious. You're tired of being afraid. You're tired of being rejected. You're tired of being hurt. You're tired of being tired. a loudness within that is hard to still. Friends, Jesus extends to us an invitation. An invitation to enjoy solitude with Him. To enjoy His peace. To enjoy His rest. Mateo 11:28 sa magandang balita, Biblia. Lumapit kayo sa akin ayon kay Kristo. Kayong lahat na nahihirapan at lubhang nabibigatan sa inyong pasanin at kayo'y bibigyan ko ng kapahingahan. Psalm chapter 32 verse 7 says, "You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful sounds of deliverance." Salah. Friends, the greater the demands on our life, the greater our need to be alone with Jesus. The greater the demands in our life, the greater need, the greater is our need to be alone with Jesus. When was the last time you were alone with Jesus? When was the last time you were alone with Him in solitude, crying to Him, pouring out to Him, having an intimate time with Him, reading His Word, meditating it, praying His Word, casting your joys and sorrows to Him? For those of you who are tired and weary, it's time to be alone with Jesus. He extends that invitation to you. You know, Jesus was also tired with His disciples at ready na magpahinga, but not the crowd. The crowd was ready for them, was not ready for them to rest. Tingnan niyo yung verse 33. "Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them." Napansin niyo ba yung nangyari rito? Nung nasulya pa ng taong bayan si Jesus at ang kanyang mga disciples, marahil nakilala sila, sinundan sila, malamang iba sumakay din ng bangka at hinabol sila, samantalang iba naman tumakbo. In-anticipate na nila, ganito sila katalim, ano? Alam na nila siguro kung saan papunta si Jesus. So, inunahan na nila si Jesus. Kaya pagdating ni Jesus ng kanyang disciples, sa inaakala ng mga disciples sa isang lugar na kung saan walang tao, pagdating nila, nandun lahat. Ang mga tao, a huge crowd ang kanilang nadatnan, demanding the attention of Jesus. You know, this is also true to all of us, ano? Kung tayo si Jesus, siguro parang tayo yung mga disciples. Siguro yung mga even disciples, pag nangyari sa atin yun, alam mo yung pagod na pagod tayo, galing trabaho, gutom, at ang inaasam-asam natin ay pag-uwi sa bahay, yung nakaupo, feeling yung breeze ng AC, tapos kakain, manunood, magbabasa. Yun ay nasa taas, biglang pag-uwi mo, napakadaming tao, and all of them ay sabay-sabay demanding for your attention. Man, kung ikaw yan, if you're just like me, lamang siguro maiirita tayo o maiinis, malamang masusungitan pa natin. O maaaring hindi natin masusungitan, siguro bibigay natin yung ating atensyon na nakangiti, but deep inside, we're just yelling. We're not happy. Look at verse 34. "When He went ashore, He saw a great crowd, and unlike us," in verse 34, "He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and He began to teach them many things." Despite na ginambala ng crowds ang kapahingahan na kinakailangan ni Jesus at ng kanyang mga disciples, nakuha pa ni Jesus to have compassion with them. Bakit daw? Sabi sa verse 34, "They were like sheep without a shepherd." Now, sa Old Testament po, ito ay madalas na gamitin na metaphor. Here, God calls His people Israel a sheep, and He uses His appointed leaders and calls them shepherds. people like Moses and Joshua who led God's people to victory and safety. And so Jesus sees the crowd and sees people without direction, without purpose, without any leader. Yun ang tingin ni Jesus, kaya yung compassion niya nandun na lang sa mga tao. A sheep without a shepherd is an endangered sheep. It is exposed to the surrounding dangers around it. As it continues to go astray, it will stray towards its death. Jesus had compassion with them and so used this opportunity to lead them, to care for them. And how did he care for them? By teaching them the Word of God. Parents, the most loving and caring way to lead your children as they mature is to spend time with them kahit pagod na kayo. To spend time with them and teach them the Word of God. Kasi a child or a teenager without their parents shepherding them is like an endangered sheep that they are every day being exposed, being bombarded by the dangers of the world wide web. Left to themselves, they will stray straight to the clutches of Satan and into the desires of their flesh that can lead them to death. It is through the Word of God that they would know who God is, what His character is like, what His purpose is, His works, His reality. And parents, you have a wonderful opportunity to point them to God the Father, not just by words, but also through your works. By providing for them, they will see that God is a good, faithful provider. By caring for them, they will see that God is not a cold, distant deity. That He is a personal, caring God, active, involved in their lives. Na kung saan, that when you discipline them, they will view God to be holy. A God who does not tolerate sin but punishes it. And every time you extend mercy and grace to them, pag sila'y naliligaw at pag sila'y nagkakamali, gives them a wonderful illustration and an opportunity to point to God's mercy and grace when He sent His Son Jesus. The mercy of God to die for our sins. Also, mga kapatid, kaming mga pastor ninyo or under-shepherds of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, dito sa Crossroads, we are commanded to feed you by the recommended diet prescribed by Jesus Himself, which is God's Word. Jesus three times in John chapter 6 reminded Peter and his disciples to feed his sheep. And the only food na ipapakain sa tupa ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo ay ang kanyang salita. Ito po ang dahilan kung bakit we are preaching sa Crossroads expositional sermons. We expose God's Word to you and to ourselves, where the point of the passage is the point of the sermon. God's Word is like food. It strengthens our souls. It allows us to see God's excellencies that leads us to behold Him, His beauty, His might, His majesty. Friends, here's my question for us ngayong oras ito. What videos, blogs, articles or books have you been feeding your souls with? Does it cause you to behold God, to love His Son Jesus, to deepen your desire to live His glory, to love, to fall in love with His bride, the church? Jesus had compassion with them. He fed them with the Word. But the situation kind of worsens. Tingnan niyo po yung verses 35 hanggang 36. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countrysides and villages and buy themselves something to eat." Pero ito sinabi po ni Jesus, because he has another plan, 37-38. But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Padilim na. Lumalalim na rin ang pagod ng bawat isa. At nasa ilang na lugar sila at wala silang mabibilihan na pagkain. Ang natural instincts ng mga disciples ay paalisin na muna. Paalisin na muna mga tao. Punta muna sila sa mga karapit bayan para makabili sila ng sarili ng pagkain. Kasi walang mabibilihan doon, walang pagkain, which makes perfect sense. Ngunit sa halip na resolbahin ni Jesus ang crisis, mas lalo niya itong pinalala. Sa paanong paraan? Ito sinabi niya sa kanyang disciples, "Bigyan niyo sila ng makakain." He was asking them to do the impossible. Bukod sa walang mabilihan sa lugar na yan, wala din silang pera pambili sa ganitong klaseng kalaking crowd. Now sabi sa verse 44, there were about 5,000 men. Now, pag sinabing 5,000 men, specifically dito sa passage na ito, this is gender specific, which means pag sinabing 5,000 men, talagang 5,000 lalaki. Hindi pa ho kasama ang mga babae dyan. Hindi pa ho kasama ang mga bata. So we're talking right roughly around 20 to 25,000 people sa crowd na ito. All of them are demanding Jesus' attention. All of them are hungry. All of them are desperate. Hindi pa kasama yung mga, sa time na yun, hindi binibilang yung babae at saka mga bata. So that's right around 20 to 25. Jesus is commanding his disciples to do the impossible. Tapos tinanong niya kung ilan ang isda at saka tinapay. Tinapay raw 5 at saka 2 isda. So, 5 pandesal, 2 pritong galunggong. Yun lang ang meron nila rito. Pero pansin nyo ba na laging gumagawa si Jesus ng crisis sa kanyang mga disciples? Lagi niya binibigay ng mga crisis situation. Jesus, here's why. Jesus intentionally does this as a teaching time sa mga disciples niya. Gaya nung time na pinagaling niya yung isang mamang paralisa na kung saan binaba pa nga yung kanyang katawan, di ba, sa kisame. Ito ang sinabi niya, "Your sins, son, your sins are forgiven." All of a sudden, sabi ng mga Pharisees, "Ha? Only God alone can forgive sins." And Jesus saying, "Well, yes, that's the point. I am God." And all of a sudden from there, marami pa nakita ang mga disciples na kung saan nakita niya his authority over nature, over evil spirits, over sickness, even death. Sa passage natin, he shows them to be the ultimate creator, that he has authority to create. Look at verses 39 to 44. "Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set them before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied." Verse 44. "And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Pinaupo niya ang mga tao in an orderly manner, took the bread, broke it, blessed it, and then asked his disciples to pass it around." Now, hindi natin alam kung papaano pinarami ni Jesus yung tinapay at yung isdang ito. Ang alam lang natin is sa kapiranggot na isda at tinapay, napakain ang libo-libong mga tao. Hindi lang ho yun, nabusog ang lahat. At hindi lang yun, meron pa silang natirang 12 baskets full. Tsaka nakakita nun. Maraming nag-attempt ipaliwanag kung ano nangyari sa kaganapang ito. Some believe that since Jesus shared, na encouraged lahat ng mga tao, they started sharing their food. So Jesus was a great encourager and example sa mga tao kung paano mag-share, kaya lahat nakakain. Ang problema po, pag yan po ang storya na ating bibitawan, this makes the feeding of the 5,000 a moralistic story rather than a supernatural working power of the Son of God. This was a miracle. Thousands were fed and were satisfied. Jesus was doing what only God can do. Yun po yung point ng miracle na ito. The massive hunger of this crowd cannot be met by His disciples or by anyone. Hindi nila kaya. They do not have the resources and the power to do it. Jesus was doing what only God can do. Jesus is the only person who can satisfy this hungry crowd, including His hungry disciples. Kaya mga kaibigan, this is more than just a story about Jesus miraculously providing the crowd and fed the hungry. At dahil dyan, Jesus can also miraculously feed you and provide for your needs. Hindi lang basa-basa, ganun lang ang story na to. Or just surrender whatever you have kay Jesus, your time, your talent, your treasure, and God will take that and He will multiply it and bless you. Yung ba ang moral ng story na ito? Ito ba ang tinuturo ng scripture? There is something more deeper than that, mga kaibigan. Jesus reveals Himself as God. And He alone can satisfy the hunger of His people. Yun po yung point dito. Friends, what are you hungry for? What are you longing to satisfy? Are you hungry for joy? Are you trying to find lasting joy sa isang relationship or in any material things? Are you trying to find security sa isang job offer or yung pag-retain mo sa kumpanya mo ngayon? Are you seeking approval and acceptance sa mga kasamahan mo sa trabaho or sa mga kaklase mo that you are willing to sacrifice your convictions? Are you trying to find peace and rest sa alak, sa sigarilyo, sa droga, even sa video games? Do you try to find your self-worth on always being the savior of someone else's life? Friends, no one and nothing in this world can satisfy your true hunger. Only Jesus can satisfy your and my soul. He is the only one who can help the helpless, which is point number two. Jesus saves the helpless. Look at verse 45 to 46. Let's read. Immediately He made His disciples get into the boat and go before Him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while He dismissed the crowd, and after He had taken leave of them, He went up on the mountain to pray. So pagkatapos pakainin ng crowd, we see the word immediately, which is yung favorite word ni Mark, immediately. O agad-agarang pinasakay ni Jesus ng bangka ang kanyang mga disciples papunta sa Bethsaida. Okay? And then He dismissed the crowd. Now, bakit na ginawa yun, di ba? After ng preaching, may kainan after. Di ba, ito yung best time na mag-fellowship, magkwentuan, or hear another sermon? So, there's a couple of reasons why Jesus did this. One, because the crowd, upon witnessing Jesus' miraculous activities, are starting to recognize messianic qualities. Yung naririnig nilang preaching at saka miracle works of Jesus plus the authority to forgive sins equals Jesus as the Messiah. Napag-duktong-duktong na nila. Sabi nga sa John chapter 6, yung parallel passage neto, they were forcing Jesus na maging king na nila. They were forcing Him to be king. Of course, they only wanted Jesus to be a political king, not the saving Messiah. They want Him to be a political king who will set them free from the Roman authority at saka oppression. Kaya para mabuhusan ng tubig yung excitement ng mga taong ito at ng kanyang mga disciples, is agad-agad niyang itong dinismiss. Second reason kung bakit niya dinismiss kagad is obviously nasa passage. To pray. He wanted to pray. At the height of his popularity, people shouting, "Jesus, King Jesus!" Marami, yun ang sinisigaw. "We want Jesus!" Probably there, could it be that Jesus was experiencing a moment of temptation? Then he decides to dismiss everyone so he can pray? Hindi po nabanggit kung ano ang kanyang pinag-pray. But we do know that he went on the mountainside to pray by himself. Mga kaibigan, napakagandang paalala sa atin ito bilang mga mananampalataya. Ikaw ba ay mataimtim na nananalangin ng kalakasan at kalayaan? Labis ka ba nananalangin sa mga ganitong kapamamaraanan kapag ikaw ay natutokso sa kasalanan? What are you heavily tempted to say or do right now sa iyong sitwasyon ngayon? Someone told me dahil sa kabisihan at distractions sa kanyang kapaligiran is having a hard time makapag-pray. So he ceased from praying. And then later on, he asks me, bakit nanghihina siya spiritually? Friends, Jesus, the incarnated Son of God, is making time to pray to the Father. Friends, don't find time to squeeze your prayer time, your reading of God's Word time to your busy schedule. Don't find time. Make time. Be intentional. Make time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Manalangin tayo na walang hinto. So ibig sabihin ba, walang hinto? Not necessarily, hindi literally. This means that we should have a mental attitude of prayerfulness. A daily constant practice of relying on the Lord by communing with Him, talking to Him about everything, about anything. Make it an attitude when you are talking with a brother or sister or even to a non-Christian. Kapag they shared a problem or bad news, mga kaibigan, do this. Pause and pray. If they share something that is worth rejoicing, you pause and pray and rejoice with them. Let them see. You model it to them. How is it to pray without ceasing? Just this last week in our elders meeting, our elders were sharing a lot of wonderful news about sa nangyayari sa ating church. And from there, we stopped yung meeting and we said, you know what? Let's pray and thank the Lord. And we did. We did. Also, a few weeks back, Diane and I were talking about yung life ng ating mga church members, both the encouraging one and sobering ones. As the conversation got deeper about sa ating members, both of us agreed to stop. You know what? Bago tayo magtuloy, why don't we pray for these people? Why don't we pray for this family? Pray without ceasing. Continue to converse with the Lord. Commune with Him in prayer. Let's read verse 47 to 50. And when evening came, the boat was on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is me, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were all utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This is the second storm na nabanggit sa book of Mark na na-encounter ng mga disciples, pero this time wala si Jesus sa boat. Just imagine, nagpapanik yung mga disciples sa Mark chapter 4 nung natutulog si Jesus kasama nila nung may bagyo. Just imagine, wala si Jesus. Just imagine kung gaano sila nagpapanik at natataranta. And napansin ni Jesus ito. Ang sabi sa passage, nahihirapan na sila sa pagsagwan. Remember, there were at least 3 or even 4 professional fishermen sa bakang yun. Pero even with their years of experience, wala po silang nagawa. Jesus looked at the disciples with the same compassion as He did sa mga hungry crowd kanina. Ngunit ito'y higit pa sa compassion niya sa kanyang mga disciples. Higit pa yung compassion niya kung bakit siya naglakad papunta sa kanila sa dagat na yon. He came to them to show them who He really was or is. So He came to them by walking on water. Sabi niya ba, it was just an optical illusion. I don't know kung paano, pero optical illusion daw yun. Sabi naman ba, since madilim yon, madaling araw, wala masyado nakakakita, so malamang is mababaw lang yung tubig. While some said, meron sandbar na kung saan isa yung tubig na kung saan natatakpan yung lupa ng buhangin, kaya nakakalakad siya papunta sa bangka. Well, we believe from scriptures na He was walking literally on top of not just waters, but troubled waters, towards the direction of the disciples. It was so real that even seasoned fishermen who knew how deep and how dangerous the waters were at that time were terrified. Napagkamalan pa nga si Jesus na isang multo. Kasi may mga superstitious beliefs din sila sa panahon na yon na may lumulutang na multo sa madaling araw. Kaya nung parang equivalent po ito ng white lady natin, ano? Nung nakita nila na, ah, totoo nga na may multo-multo! Bukod sa bagyo, takot sa multo. Lalaking mamang ito na takot ho sa akala nilang multo. So, syempre, nagpakilala naman si Jesus sa kanila when He was approaching them. Jesus, now what's going on here? Jesus was trying to teach them something. He was revealing to them who He is. You know, so verse 48, sabi, He meant to pass by them. To pass by sa Old Testament was a phrase used several times to describe God's self-revelation. Yun ang ginagawa sa Old Testament. Pag nakita nyo yung pass by in certain sections ng Old Testament scripture, it means that God is revealing Himself. Exodus chapter 33, sa Mount Sinai, the transcendent Lord passed by Moses in order to reveal His name and compassion. Tapos naulit-ulit to sa Mount Horeb sa 1 Kings chapter 19 where God revealed Himself kay Elijah by passing by him. At ang pinakamaliwanag na reference na makikita natin of God's self-revelation by passing by is sa Job chapter 9 verse 8 at 11, which is a good reference sa Mark chapter 6. Let me read it to you. Job 9 verse 8, who alone stretched out the heavens, or God alone who stretched out the heavens and trampled the waves of the sea. Verse 11, behold, He passed by me, and I see Him not. He moves on, but I do not perceive Him. This clearly is revealing God revealing Himself to His disciples. That's why He planned to pass by them. At mas na-intensify pa po ito, okay? Kung hindi nila nakuha yung pass-by na yon, mas na-intensify pa ito nung sinabi ni Jesus na, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. I, ego imi. What does that mean? Again, another Old Testament reference, which is identical when God revealed Himself to Moses, a burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And He said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I am, ng Exodus 3:14 means the self-sufficient, self-existing one. Therefore, Jesus is not just doing what only God can do, but He's also claiming the name of God. Hindi niya sinabing, it is I, ako to, yes. Part of it is yes, but when He used that I, it can be rendered as I am. Yahweh, the very name that God revealed and mentioned to Moses to tell His people, to give them hope. Why? He entered in the crisis of His people. Yun ang ginawa ni Jesus. Why? Because He loves them. Mga kaibigan, napansin niyo ba that God reveals Himself in stormy days? in times of crisis? Listen, kung ikaw ay nasa kalagitnaan ng isang malupit na bagyo o storm of some kind, and I say that figuratively, God did not promise us that He will calm all the storms of our lives. But He did promise that He will be with you, that He will be with me on that boat. For He said to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Maring sinasabi ng iba sa atin, naku, baka wala ako sa kalooban ng Panginoon, Pastor, dahil ang bigat ng pinagdadaanan kong problema, pinarurusahan sigurado ako. I don't know, maybe, maybe not. Ngunit hindi ito ang sinasabi ng passage natin dito ngayon. We have to remember that it was Jesus who commanded them to go out to the sea. So they are very much in the will of God as they obeyed the word of God. Okay? Jesus did not promise a trouble-free life, and we learned that last week, but promised trouble for those who follow him. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Nilagay niya mga disciples sa isang crisis situation in order to reveal himself to him. Friends, suffering should lead us to know and trust God better. It is through intense crisis that we become helpless. All of our wits are done. Our strength and resources are exhausted. And we become humble. And so we get to know God better in times of crisis. Sa situation ng mga disciples, their hearts were still hardened. Hindi nila naintindihan yung miracle na nangyari mismo sa feeding. Isipin mo, habang inaabot niya yung mga tinapay, alam nila kung saan galing at ilang piraso yung tinapay at isda na yun, pero hindi nakihinto ang kanilang pag-abot at may natira pa na 12 basket. Pinagdududahan pa rin nila si Jesus. They still doubt kung sino siya at ang kanyang purpose. Friends, of all the evidences about Jesus' deity that you have read, and if you've been following our sermon series, you've been exposed repeatedly from the book of Mark who Jesus is. And maybe have witnessed evidences of His work in the transformation of people's life that you know. My question is, are you still hardening your heart? Are you looking at Him in a restrictive way? Mga kaibigan, wag po natin maliitin kung paano pwedeng gawin ni Kristo sa buhay mo if you have placed your faith in Him. Humble yourself before Him. Pray that the Lord would open your mind and transform your heart. Pray that, Lord, help me, teach me, give me the power to change this heart of stone to a heart of flesh. Number three and last, Jesus strengthens the hurting. Let's read verses 53 to 56. When they had crossed over, they came to a land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever they came, in villages, cities, our countryside, they laid the sick in marketplaces and implored him that they might touch him, even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. Ito po ang buod ng ni Mark sa itong buod ni Mark sa kadakilaan ni Jesus or yung greatness ni Jesus. Ang kasikatan ni Jesus ay kumalat sa Galilee, Jerusalem, and even sa Judea. Jesus was attracting hurting people to himself to be healed. They saw Jesus as a beacon of hope. Kaya sa ang kanilang superstitious belief na makahawakan ko lang ang kanyang damit, gagaling na ako. Minalala ba kayo sa kwento na yun? Minalala ba kayong kwento sa Mark chapter 4 or 5? Na yung woman who was bleeding for 12 years? Same thing, makahawakan ko lang, gagaling na ako. Now, not all who touched Jesus were healed. Tingnan niyo sa verse 56. As many as touch it were made well. So, hindi yung sinabing all who touch, but many. The healing happened not because of the power of faith. Okay, hindi po yun ang dahilan. But the object of faith, which is Jesus. God is not offended by imperfect understanding, particularly for those in need. Anyone who humbles themselves, seeks Him, puts their hope and trust and faith in Him will be healed as Jesus wills. Mga kaibigan, maring ang katanungan po natin ngayon oras na ito is, mapapagaling ba ako ng Panginoon sa akin physical na karamdaman? And the answer is yes. Absolutely. Of course. And we should pray boldly in faith that He would. So, ang tanong, kailan ako pagagalingin ng Panginoon? Kailan niya ako pagagalingin? Ako po ay naniniwala that Jesus will heal everyone 100% those who had placed their faith in Him. Let me say that again. Jesus will heal anyone who had placed their faith in Him 100%. Alam ko lang iba sa inyo nagtatasan ng kilay dito. Mukhang tunog prosperity yan, Pastora. It's good. You're trying to look at this passage through theological lenses. That's good. But keep those lenses on as I do a little unpacking, okay? Let me frame this in three ways. Una, naniniwala ko na may gagaling sa kanilang physical na karamdaman immediately. Agad-agad. Kayang gawin ng Panginoon yan. He can heal cancer. He can heal a person even na severe na ang case niya ng COVID-19. He can. He is a compassionate God and can even heal supernaturally. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can heal for His glory. We should not doubt when we are praying. Ngunit naniniwala din ako na second, God will heal eventually. Kanina immediately, ngayon naman, eventually. So to some, we need to wait. Wait. Waiting and believing that God will heal us. Waiting is a means of God's grace in order to sanctify us. And as we wait in hope, as we wait in faith sa ating Redeemer, ito ay isang magandang patutuo na tunay nga na anak ng Diyos ay nagpapatuloy magtiwala at magpuri sa Kanya sa kalagitnaan ng sakit at sakuna. Napakagandang patutuo ito sa watching world. And as we wait on the Lord, ang pangako niya sa atin sa 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Third, at ako rin naniniwala that God will heal ultimately. Immediately, eventually, ultimately. This means there is also a chance that we won't get healed in this world. That we would either die in faith and see Jesus, or not die, but see Jesus' second coming. Seeing Him face to face. Mga kaibigan, ito ang pag-asa para sa ating may mga iniindang pisikal na karamdaman o sakit. Ito ang pag-asa para sa ating mga nawala ng mahal sa buhay na nagdadalamhati ngayon. Ito po ang pag-asa natin sa mga tao, mga pagod na sa pakikipagdigmaan sa tukso at kasalanan. Ito ang pag-asa para sa atin na araw-araw humaharap sa kalungkutan, kapighatian, pag-uusig, sa mga nakakaranas ng kawalan ng katarungan. Mga kapatid, ito po ang pag-asa natin. When Jesus comes back, when we meet Jesus face to face, He will make everything right. Revelation 21:45, "I will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Mga kaibigan, ito ay posible lamang. posible lamang para sa mga tunay na anak ng Diyos. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Mga kaibigan, kagaya ng mga Israelita at ng mga Hudyo, lahat tayo ay parang mga tupang ligaw. Hindi tayo yung naligaw na dahil sa papunta tayo sa tama, nagkamali lang ng liko. Hindi po yun yung pagkaligaw natin. Hindi dahil sa tayo ay naligaw, gusto nating maligaw. Yan po tayo. Dahil sa ating mga kasalanan, tayo po ay papalayo sa Panginoon, papalayo sa kanyang kalooban, papalayo sa kanyang kabanalan. At papunta sa tiyak na kamatayan. Dahil ang nais lamang natin ay sundan ang kagustuhan ng ating laman. At dahil dyan tayo po ay papunta sa kapahamakan. Romans 6:23, sapagkat kamatayan ang kabayaran ng kasalanan. Yan po ang sasapitin ng hindi nagtitiwala sa Panginoon. Kung patuloy natin patitigasin ang ating puso, kung hindi natin ilalagay ang ating peace and rest sa Panginoon. But God, who is rich in mercy, compassionate, caring, loving, sends the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, to save his lost sheep from death. Jesus Christ came. Jesus is the good shepherd who came to rescue his lost sheep. He's the bread of life, the bread from heaven. Whoever eats will not grow hungry, but will be eternally satisfied. Jesus came down from heaven and entered his people's suffering. He was tempted but did not give in to sin. On his last supper with his disciples, he also broke the bread. He also gave thanks. He also passed it to his disciples. But on that last meal, he was betrayed. He was also abandoned by the people that he loved. He was falsely accused and was sentenced to death. Death on the cross. His body was beaten. His blood poured out on the cross for our sins. You see, Jesus took your sins and my sins, my punishment, your punishment on that cross. Jesus died and was buried, and on the third day has risen from the grave. Anyone who believes in him shall have everlasting life. Everyone who believes and put their faith in Christ's finished work on the cross will be eternally satisfied, will have ultimate rest, will never grow hungry. This is the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Friends, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Jesus. I urge you, repent from your sins and place your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for your salvation, for your eternal rest, for your eternal satisfaction. And from there, your joy now is the joy of worshiping the Father. Friends, Jesus alone can truly satisfy our souls. Jesus is the Messiah who alone can truly satisfy the hungry, save the helpless, and strengthen the hurting. Let us pray. Father, for those who are hearing this video sermon, for those who are seeking to satisfy their hungry souls with the things of this world that can never satisfy, I pray that you would draw them. Call them to yourself in a saving way. Satisfy them as they hear the gospel of hope, the gospel of the cross and empty tomb. I pray that you would save souls as they've heard the gospel today. As for my brothers and sisters who are hearing this, I pray that we would remind each other, that we would feed each other with your word. We would encourage one another by being satisfied in Christ alone. And I pray that in our living, we pray that we would attract the watching world, that we would make Jesus look attractive and satisfying to the watching world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.